This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're on Saturday Magazine with Nevena and Macca. We have our first wonderful guest in the studio this morning. Macca, who are we speaking with?
We have Carolyn Gillespie, the Director of Services at Thorn Harbour Health. Good morning, Carolyn. How are you?
Good morning, Macca and Nev. It is delightful to be back here, although slightly more chilly than last time I made my way down to St Kilda. We've got a bayside breeze going on this morning out there, folks.
Yes, yes. It is just a touch chilly, isn't it, that breeze?
It's two steps forward, one step back when it comes to this spring. I'm not sure whether I'm meant to be bringing out my bikini or my trench coat of these days.
Perhaps the wear the bikini under the trench coat.
Macca, I wouldn't put it beyond me to do that.
No. So, Carolyn, there's a lot happening in the public health space, and particularly Thorn Harbour. There's a conference coming up.
There is indeed a conference coming up. So we are really proud to host the only LGBTIQ+ women's health conference in Australia, and globally significant, might I add, actually. There's really few conferences or collections of reflections globally around this work. So we're really proud, in partnership with ACON, to be hosting this conference. Would it be useful for me to give a bit of a background history?
Yeah, absolutely.
About where it came from.
How it emerged. Yep. And yeah, we've got plenty of questions that
Excellent.
We'd like to explore.
So back in 2015, so in the before days, before COVID, we really, between our organisations, recognised that there wasn't really a focus on LGBTIQ+ women, and we needed to do something about it. And as you know, our communities, when we see a need, we get to action and we make things happen. So the conference was really born of wanting to bring together researchers, policymakers, clinicians, community members, activists together into a singular space to really have some dedicated time to really explore, reflect, understand what's happening in relation to all aspects of LGBTIQ+ women's health. And the conference has last been face-to-face back in 2018 because, of course, the world went sideways for a little bit there. We had an online conference last year, and this is the very first conference face-to-face since 2018, and it'll be on the 24th and 25th of October at the Abbotsford Convent, so a beautiful place to come together.
With a checkered history, might I add. So it's good to be able to not only reclaim that, but to do something very positive with that space.
Absolutely. So for listeners who may not be aware, the Abbotsford Convent was a former workhouse for immoral, in italics, immoral women, and as a laundry. And so really in modern times has become a really strong queer space.
We have
reclaimed that space for our community and for women more broadly. And part of us having the conference there is really part of a political statement to really claim that space and to
take it back.
And Carolyn, I'm really interested in how you said that there was a need there and the queer community saw that need was there. There are many women's health organisations, but it really speaks volumes that there hadn't been a conference or anything quite like this event that solely focused on the unique and specific health needs of LGBTQ+ women. And I think that really speaks to the power of community-controlled organisations to not only see that need, but to organise around that. Is that something that gets reflected on?
Look, I think that's absolutely true. And I think then what comes out of this conference is then influence that we have at both state level and at national level around LGBTIQ women's health issues. So we have at the moment the national LGBTIQ+ National Health and Wellbeing Plan that's being developed for our community with a strong focus on our women's issues as part of that plan. And I sit on the expert advisory group for that, along with another a number of key leaders in our communities with particular expertise around health. So I think what happens is when we create space to bring activists and researchers together, we bring and highlight the work that's happening, and then we can use that as levers for change in other spaces as well.
So what sort of subjects and discussions and presentations can we expect at the conference?
Yeah, so The conference is open to everybody, so mm-hmm. all genders, all sexualities are welcome there, and registrations are open at the moment.
Where do people register?
Yeah, so online they can register. So if people Google LGBTIQ plus health conference, and we can probably make sure that we provide those details after this, people can register online. If there's a cost of living crisis too, so if folks are really struggling in terms of finances, mm-hmm. there are scholarships available as well, because we want to make sure everyone in the community has the opportunity to attend. Right. So there's a commitment to that. We have a really bold program, and the program is online as well. And for example, one of the amazing keynote speakers is Dr. Autumn Asher Blackdear. And Dr. Autumn is from the University of Denver. She's an incredible Indigenous queer scholar, a decolonizer from the Southern Cheyenne Nation. And she's really looking at structural violence on American Indians and Alaskan Native communities and what to do about that. And we've got her opening the conference in partnership with our First Nations folks to really make a statement and a commitment about that. And we have a whole bunch of other programs around family violence, around trans issues, pleasurable postmenopausal sex. So we have a kickboxing session, we have craft workshops, you name it, it is there. And we have a pop-up shop for queer makers in the evening as part of our social events. So there is all kinds of things happening and something for everyone.
It sounds like an incredibly holistic approach to health that's embedded throughout the program. So we're looking at everything from sex and sexual pleasure. We're looking at health topics, and we're also looking at from perspectives of what other nations and countries are doing well and how that's applicable and the parallels that we can draw there. Is there anything in particular that you're looking forward to seeing or hearing?
Yeah, we just actually sorted out yesterday bringing quite a number of sister girls down from the Elko Islands.
Oh,
so we're going to have a rainbow mob panel.
For anyone who might be who might not be familiar, Carolyn, could you speak to who sister girls are and the significance of having them here?
Yeah, so the sister girls are Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander trans women who live up in the Northern Territory and in other places around Australia, but are a community up in the Northern Territory living on remote islands outside of Darwin. And the sister girls are coming to talk about their experience, about their community, about what it means to be a sister girl. And it's really an opportunity for some serious reflection, inevitably some laughter and fun. The sister girls are always fun. And an opportunity for us to really highlight a really important part of our women's community here in Australia.
Because I think, you know, this is so important. One, an LGBTQI conference run by Thorn Harbour, focusing on women's health and really casting the net wide. I think that's really important that, you know, it's not just a particular group of women. And, you know, the issues that you're covering, you know, I think are really important. Are there going to be, you know, some panel discussions, and give us a bit of a feeling for those, Carolyn?
Yeah, so the flow of the conference is really there's some main sessions that happen in the room. So, for example, we have a migration and displacement panel. So that's bringing together all of our migrant, forcibly displaced people, refugee, asylum seeker experience. And, of course, having an intersectional approach, looking at all of the aspects of what it is to be an LGBTIQ plus woman in Australia, that's really important to us that we bring those different voices. So there's main panel sessions, there's small workshop groups for people who might want to say, have an exploratory moment of time in relation to their own experience. I'm running one with a colleague of mine around what it is to be the B in LGBTIQ plus. Making sure that we have bisexual space. So we really have sort of a micro and macro focus on, you know, large human rights type conversations, as well as some really micro personal work that people can do. And there is also a convent history tour that we've locked in as for folks who want to go on a walking tour around the convent.
Are there any parts of the convent that are still, you know, that it used to be a workhouse for, what was it, for women?
It was the laundry, so the Magdalen laundry.
Yeah. So is Is any of that still original? Is there?
There is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Highly recommend the tour, Mac. Yeah. I remember going on one a couple of years ago, and you could just feel how stark it was. The energy of the how fierce these nuns were, and how badly women were treated is in that building.
Yeah.
And that's where we're having our big social event.
Well.
So, it's so where we're claiming it, and we'll have an amazing Aboriginal trans burlesque artist doing some work in our social event.
Oh, the nuns would have hated
that, Macca. Yes. Oh. The nuns would be touching absolutely.
Oh, no,
at our
they'd
work.
Be. If they had pearls, they'd be clutching them.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, please.
Carolyn, I was just reflecting being on the website and just it's. What's really struck and just says, we're back. And when you think about the year that we have had this year and the difficulties that our communities were facing around Ida Hopper Day with a small group of extremists targeting events, there is an element of connectivity that is missing. There's an element that people really want to get offline and start reconnecting in person to look each other in the eye, to feel each other. And I was really worried recently because Meta, which is the parent company of Facebook, have just brought out what they're calling AI chatbots. So they take a celebrity's likeness and then you can, well, you think you're having a conversation with this person and it responds to you in real time. And it breaks my heart to think about how young people are going to be missing the connectivity that we get at these conferences and events. You know, a few years ago, I was getting a little bit sick of, you know, I was getting a little bit of conference fatigue, but now I just see how important they are, not only the content here, but at bringing people back together.
I think that's a really valid point, Nev. And, you know, we see so much polarization and lack of generosity, I think sometimes that's happened because we've all become so isolated. And certainly when the conference was first established, there was a strong wish really for our women's communities to have a space to come together. And part of coming together is that we get to hear different opinions. There's an incredible trans, gender and sport fitness panel that we've got happening as part of the conference. So navigating through what that space is and elevating those voices. And it's so important for us to come together and to really understand what our connective points are, our shared positions rather than points of difference. And I'm really hopeful that that's what this conference will add.
You are on Saturday Magazine with Macca and Nevena. We are speaking with Carolyn from Thorn Harbour Health. We're going to take a very short break and be back with our next segment. So join us.
Stay with us.
Connecting, representing, celebrating. Joy 94.9.
Indeed. You are on Saturday Magazine with Nevena and Macca. Our special guest this morning is Carolyn Gillespie, Director of Services at Thorn Harbour Health. And we're talking about the LGBTQIA plus Women's Health Conference, 24th to the 25th of October at the Abbotsford Convent. And Nev, I know that you're just gagging to ask the next question, so I'm very happy for you to fire.
Now I'm wondering what the question's going to be.
Yeah, so am I, Macca. So, Carolyn, thank you for sharing that about the conference. For anyone who's interested, head online. The website is incredible. You can find all the details that you need. But we'd love to know what's on the calendar for the rest of the year for the Thorn Harbour team.
Yeah, so as we rapidly head at full pace towards the end of the year, we've got sort of two key events coming up. So we have the Thorn Harbour Health Annual General Meeting, which is on the 12th of November, and we hold that at the Positive Living Centre in South Yarra. Most of the time, I think AGMs are pretty boring.
You can say boring.
Yeah, I was going to say boring. Yeah, pretty boring events. However, in full Thorn Harbour Health style, our AGM is always one to attend. It's always incredibly enriching and entertaining. And we have our wonderful Mr. Joe Ball from Switchboard is doing our keynote that event. So Joe is always an incredible speaker, as we know, and an amazing advocate for our community. So we're really thrilled that Joe's agreed to come and deliver the keynote this year at our AGM.
And it's such a statement to be able to have these events and bring community leaders together. And I do have to say every Thorn Harbour AGM I've attended has just inspired a sense of joy, because the keynote speaker, it always captures the mood of the moment. And again, it's talking about the incredible and ongoing attacks on the trans and gender diverse communities. I think it's really valid and validating to have Joe Ball deliver that this year.
Absolutely. And I think we do so much in our communities as staff and volunteers and community members. It's really nice, I think, as we head towards the end of the year and then into the flurry of midsummer in January, to just stop for a moment and just reflect on all of the work that's happened to support the health and well-being of our communities. And the AGM's really the opportunity for us to do that.
And it's also a celebration of all the volunteers who make up the Thorn Harbour community, because, and it goes back to the point we were discussing before, it's another moment of in-person connection, as well as some administration on the side, but to bring people together and to thank them for their efforts and to thank them for everything that they have done is just something very special to behold.
It is. And look, I think most AGMs, you know, you might be lucky to get 10 people turn up, but at ours, there's always several hundred. So it says something about how much the membership and the community really are engaged with the work of our organisation.
And I think so Joy's 30th AGM will be on the 1st of December, which is also World AIDS Day.
It is, yep.
What number is this for Thorn Harbour? Is it
40. Remember, we had our 40th ball in the middle of this year. So I think we're technically still in our 40.
Yes.
So 41 comes next year.
Yeah. And that's, you know, an incredible length of time. Mm. You know, that's a couple of generations.
Yeah.
And, you know, to think about the thousands and thousands of people that have given their time, you know, given their labour, given their money, given their support.
Their love and their energy.
Yeah, to Thorn Harbour, and to remember all of those who are not with us.
Yeah.
And it's great that you've got Joe to do that keynote address. That'll be fantastic. Can I ask, Carolyn, as we, you know, move, you know, into an environment where HIV and AIDS is in a very different environment in Australia, other places in the world not so fortunate.
Yep.
So Thorn Harbour has had to adjust what it does and where it puts its effort. And, you know, this Women's Health Conference is a fantastic example of, I won't call it a refocus, but putting some more attention on a particular area. For the next little while, how do you see, you know, perhaps some of the services or some of the focus of Thorn Harbour changing?
Yeah. So HIV will still always be at the heart of our work, Macca. I think, you know, the pandemic is not over. And even though, you know, we have had such an incredible health response in this country because of the way that we've integrated community controlled, bringing grassroots activists together with government and with health and policymakers, and together we've created an extraordinary response here, which sees us really working towards the virtual elimination of HIV transmission in this country. You know, we can never take our foot off the pedal in relation to that. And of course, there are many folks living with HIV and affected by HIV who still need our care, support, and our ongoing commitment. And that is unwavering in that space, particularly as people age and other issues come up, and how we can help people, I like to say, age disgracefully as they get older. We certainly want people to, you know, have good health and great quality of life as much as we possibly can. I mean, I think from my point of view, as the Director of Services, you know, the mental health of our community is really something that we see front and centre. And of course, in Victoria, we are in the middle of a really enormous piece of reform around our mental health services more broadly. And we are seeing a refocus on a true investment in what it means to support the health and well-being and mental health of our communities. So For us as an organisation, you know, that is certainly front and centre to the work. We continue to hold a really strong activist position as an organisation, so not just reacting to needs, but actually lobbying and engaging with government and engaging with those with influence and power to really change policy settings and systems that impact our communities, perhaps in negative ways that are either not understood or that are not actually attending to the needs of our communities. To support access to healthcare. So there's a lot still to do. And, you know, I always say that I'm never bored and I've always got plenty on my plate. But, yeah.
And there's also the incredible work that Thorn Harbour continues to do in the health promotion space across the health spectrum. So not only, I imagine, as we get into spring and summer, we might be seeing more outdoor posters, but there's also a lot of digital work that's going ahead. And you might see that on the Emanate website, which is a hub of information that people can go to. But as I understand it, Carolyn, it's also one of the few centralised places that you can find information about MPOX or just finding somewhere to go to get an STI health check. That must be a program that you're really proud of.
It is absolutely a program. And Touchbase is the other one that I would talk about, which is a alcohol and other drug site, so people can get really culturally specific information around what it means to take drugs and alcohol and be part of our community and a harm reduction response around that too. So yeah, we have a strong commitment to continuing to inform our community so that people have the information they need to make good decisions about their healthcare and where to get support. And we will continue to do that. We're also about to relaunch our Safe Always campaign, which is our family violence prevention campaign. So through midsummer next year, people will see that up and about. And it's an easy website. It's safealways.org. Yeah. So that's outside of health promotion around HIV and STIs. We also are looking at other things like family violence.
And again, that speaks to that holistic view about health. It's not just about whether how you're feeling in this very moment. It's about those determining factors in your life, whether it is how and where you live, your access to even engage with these services. It's a really important point and function that Thorn Harbour is a part of, Macca.
And it is. It's a central role. And, you know, I'd like to reflect on the 40 years of the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre and then subsequently Thorn Harbour Health, that I don't know how many people have used the services of Thorn Harbour Health. I would think tens of thousands.
I would think
if not, you know, hundreds, perhaps not hundreds of thousands, but I would suggest well over 100,000, probably close to 200,000. And that, you know, is a great example of what a community-led organisation is capable of. And some of the advocacy that's taken place, and most recently, just think about the advocacy around monkeypox. And in this very studio, Simon Ruth managed, was quite a coincidence. We had Senator Dean Smith from the Liberal Party and Josh Burns from the Labor Party in the studio, and Simon was able to speak to them about some of the challenges about the distribution and the monkeypox vaccine, and that actually made a difference.
Yeah.
But that advocacy, you know, without fear or favour, has been really important. You know, we think back to ACT UP and, you know, even the Positive Living Centre. I'm old enough to remember when that, which was the Braille Library, and how that became the Positive Living Centre and what a magnificent building it is. So the achievements are something that, you know, you can all feel really proud of, but it's also about the future, isn't it?
Exactly.
And about what the organisation does in the future, and that community engagement is so central to it, isn't it?
Absolutely. And our monkeypox response as a community controlled health service has just been recognised as a finalist in the Vic Health Awards.
Yes.
So we're pretty thrilled about that, because that then takes that way of working into a wider space for other more mainstream health services to think about. So that Vic Health Awards night's coming up soon, which is really exciting for us.
And who votes on that? Is that something that is within the health community, or is that something that people can vote on?
So it's peer voted. And in fact, Simon, Ruth and I were both judges, although obviously not of the category that we're finalists in, just to be clear for the listeners. So there is a call out to people working across health to throw their hats in the ring to be judges, and they make a judging pool of diverse representation across, you know, acute health, primary health, and community health, and across diversities and intersections of people's identities in that space. And then it's voted on in a peer-led model. So there's a lot of integrity about who gets up. Yeah.
That is incredible. And when might you find out the result of that all-important vote?
Yes, I can't remember now, actually. It's November sometime is the big Vic Health Awards night.
Oh, incredible. Yes.
Wouldn't it be great if you actually knew before your AGM?
Well, we will. Yes, I think it's before the AGM, but don't quote me on that. But yes, it would be wonderful if we found out beforehand.
Macca, it has been an absolute pleasure to be finding out everything that's been going on with Thorn Harbour Health, to have this moment of reflection and to chat a bit deeper about the Women's Health Centre. Carolyn Gillespie, thank you so much for joining us in the studio today.
You're welcome. Thanks, folks.
And, you know, thanks. I know how important weekends are to all of us. So for making, you know, the effort to come in, we really appreciate it. And thank you for your work, and best of luck with the conference. I think it's going to be fantastic and bigger and better than ever before.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.